The reading comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. If I haven't met you before, my name's Reuben Capel. I'm one of the pastors here at Riverbank. We're delighted that you've joined us for the special Christmas Day service. It's kind of weird to think that it's Thursday morning, isn't it? But what a great time to celebrate the arrival of Jesus into our world. If you've been with us over the past few weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at the Christmas story as it's told in the Bible by a guy called Matthew. And Matthew's been telling us about the arrival of Jesus into our world, and he's been telling us that this is a baby like no other. He's been telling us that Jesus is a king, Jesus is a savior, Jesus is Emmanuel, that means God with us. Those are really the three big things we've seen about Jesus. He's a king, he's a savior, he's a friend. And I could end my sermon at this point, couldn't I? And we could get an early start on Christmas lunch. But I just want us to dig a little deeper before we head out of here this morning to make sure that that Jesus, that we actually know him personally. To be able to say, he's my Jesus. He's not just a king, he's my king. He's not just a savior, he's my savior. He's not just a friend, he is my friend. Now, I'm not sure whether you can actually say that for yourself. I don't know. I mean, maybe you just don't know much about Jesus at all, in which case we're just delighted that you're here today. Maybe you do know quite a lot about Jesus, plenty perhaps, but he still isn't very real in your life. Maybe you come to church when you can, but besides that, Jesus doesn't really seem to make much difference for you in your life. This morning, we're going to talk about what it might look like for regular Aussies like you and me to have Jesus in our lives. And we're going to particularly think about three types of Aussies this morning. We're going to think about the go-getters, the gone-wrongers, and the good timers. That's where we're going. Let's start with the go-getters. These are the Aussies whose lives are go, 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 do, 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 busy, busy, busy. And that might be you. I saw an ad on TV the other day, I think it was from Big W, and it was saying, "We know who makes Christmas happen." And it was basically just a shout out to the mums. The mums who planned the presents and did the shopping and made the salads and glazed the ham and organized the family gatherings and made sure everyone was happy. And if you were that person, then shout out to you, because that's a lot. But also, if you're that person, then I suspect that Christmas isn't the only thing in life that you have to make happen. Maybe Christmas is kind of like the Mount Everest of organizational achievements in the year, but I suspect there are also a lot of other mountains that you have to climb each week. A lot of other things you've got to hold together, because if you don't, then who will? That's so often how life feels, isn't it? I've got to keep everything under control, because otherwise it's just going to all unravel. At home, at work, at school, with my friends, with my family, with my spouse, with my finances. And if I asked you to describe how that feels, I wonder what you'd say. Pressured, perhaps. Stressed, harassed. It's kind of nice of Big W to say, hey, we see you, unsung heroes of the festive season. We know you make Christmas happen. That's kind of nice. It's a nice gesture, but it doesn't really help much, does it? It's not much help to the thousands of Australians who are rushing through their lives, fighting a rising sense of anxiety and panic as they just try and hold everything together. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think part of the problem is not just that we're busy, but it's that we're busy trying to hold together things that we actually can't control. Is that part of it? Things like children, and husbands, and wives, and mothers-in-law, and interest rates, exam results, and weather forecasts, and dangerous diseases, and terrorists with guns. If we're honest, maybe the thing that stresses us out the most is not all the things I need to do, but all the things I can't do. All the things I simply can't control. What if things don't work out? What if I fail? What if I let other people down? What if people see behind the mask and realize I'm actually freaking out in here and I'm barely holding it together? What if I'm not as good a person as I like to think I am? What if my heart is really just a fruit salad of bitterness and frustration? I know those might be scary questions, but they're really important questions, because they lead us to a place of honesty. And only when we reach that place of honesty are we really ready for Christmas. I don't mean ready to impress everyone. I mean ready to collapse in front of Jesus and say, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I am anxious and I'm angry and I'm full of discontentment. Please help me. Will Jesus help you if you come to him with that kind of honesty? What do you think? He absolutely will. How do I know that? Because he is the friend and the savior and the king. What does it mean for Jesus to be your friend? Go-getters? Well, look at the name given to Jesus in verse 23 of that passage we read. It says they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. God with you. That's what it means for Jesus to be your friend. It means that as our lives spin out of control, he doesn't stand back and wag his finger and say, man, she is such a disappointment. He is such a loser. I'm just waiting for him to get his life together. He draws closer with compassion and kindness. I wonder if that's how you tend to think of God. You know, the problem with go-getters is that we tend to think we need to get it all together before we can come to God. We think we need to clean up our lives in order for him to love us and want to be near us. The true message of Christmas is the complete opposite of that. It's that Christmas is God coming to be near to sinful, broken people. And he doesn't just befriend us and pat us on the back. No, he saves us. That's why his other name is Jesus, which means God saves. Verse 21 says, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. What sins do go-getters need to be saved from, do you think? Perhaps the sin of pride, of trying to pretend we have it all together. Perhaps the sin of self-reliance, of trying to control things only God can control. If you want to experience Jesus as your Savior, then you and I need to get on our knees and admit we don't have it all together. And then as you admit that, Jesus comes into your life to be your friend, to be your Savior, and to be your King. We've sung a lot about Jesus being a baby in a manger this morning. He's not a baby anymore. Babies grow up. This one grew up and he died on a cross. And then he came back to life again. And then he went up to heaven and was crowned King of the whole universe. Think about that. What might it be like to have that King, the King of all kings, as your friend and your Savior? That's a friend in high places, right? Wouldn't that mean you can trust him? Wouldn't that mean you can give things over to him and find peace and rest knowing that he has got it covered? That's good news for go-getters, isn't it? It's good news for go-getters. But now, there's another type of Aussie that we want to think about this morning. We thought about the go-getters. But now, what about the gone-wrongers? What about those people who feel like things just keep going wrong? Who never would have planned to be in the situation that they are in today? And who don't even know how to get out of it? Perhaps Christmas is a really hard time of the year. A time of loneliness, a time of missing loved ones, a time of dwelling on the past. Maybe you see all the fun and the festivities around you and it just makes you feel sad. But you don't want to rain on anyone's parade, so you just kind of feel sad over here by yourself. What might it mean to know that Jesus is for you this Christmas? Well, one of the things I really appreciate about the Bible is it is brutally honest. It tells real stories of real people whose lives are really hard. In fact, Matthew has just been telling us about how the kingdom of Israel, God's people, they went from this like golden era of mighty kings and great prosperity all the way down the toilet, to having their homes besieged and their loved ones killed and then being dragged off to become slaves to a foreign ruler. That's the type of people who Matthew's writing to. That's what they've lived through. He's writing to gone wrongers, to people who are living in a world of violence and hatred and grief, to people who are struggling to find hope. It's not actually that hard to imagine he's writing to people in Australia in 2025, is it? What does he say to them? He says, Jesus has arrived. Emmanuel, God with you. In other words, God hasn't forgotten you. Do you need to hear that this Christmas? Do you know that Jesus wants to be your friend? That he hears your prayers. That a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He is the sufferer who knows exactly what it feels like to be hated and alone and facing death. He is the Savior who died for you so that the guilt and the shame of your sins could be washed away. And He is the King who rose from the dead to defeat death, to defeat Satan and every evil power in this universe. Matthew calls Him the Messiah. It's an old Hebrew word. It means God's special King who is coming to fix our broken world. And that's the hope that can be yours if you put your trust in Jesus. He doesn't promise us a life of comfort right now. He doesn't promise instant healing from all our diseases and a Christmas tree loaded with presents underneath. He promises something better. He promises to give us a world one day that is so full of love and peace that even if you searched through it for 1,000 years from top to bottom, you would not find even one sad tear, even one mean word, even one hurtful deed, even one medical problem. You won't find it. That's the world Jesus is creating. And until He does it, He promises He will never leave us or forsake us. So if you feel like things have gone wrong and you are looking for answers and for help and for hope, maybe that's kind of why you rocked up here this morning. I simply can't think of any better news than Jesus. Jesus for you. Jesus, your friend, your Savior, your King. That is good news for gone wrongers, isn't it? We've seen good news for go-getters. Good news for gone wrongers. Now we want to finish quickly by thinking about one other type of Aussie. The good timers. You see, maybe it makes sense for the go-getters and the gone wrongers to turn to Jesus, but what about the good timers? The Aussies who, to be honest, are pretty much just living the dream. And let's be honest, life in Australia can be pretty darn good. It is pretty comfortable for many of us. Christmas is a good example of that, right? Just eating good food, hanging out with the people we love, unwrapping that new piece of tech, chilling in the pool with mates, hugging your kids as they grin from ear to ear, sticky with candy cane juice. And when life's going well, it's pretty easy to forget about God, I guess, isn't it? Do we even need Him? We don't usually pray till we need something, right? And don't seem to need Him. In fact, some of us are pretty sure we don't want Jesus in our lives. We don't need Him and honestly don't really want to follow His rules. So what do you think? Do the good timers even need Jesus? Or are they all good? I really think that's worth thinking about. One of the things that makes me think is, what about the fact that the good times never actually satisfy as much as we think they will? Have you noticed that? Scientists have actually studied this. They've discovered that when you do the same activity again and again, it gradually gives you less and less dopamine, less and less feelings of pleasure. And that's why things like coffee and sex and booze and shopping and scrolling on your phone and buying new technology and traveling to another country, you do it again and again and it doesn't quite satisfy like it used to. And then you go searching for the next hit. In fact, what happens is that the more we start to pursue these things, the more our lives start to feel like a never-ending search for this thing that we don't even know what it is that's going to quench our thirst and somehow make us feel like, oh, now we're there. This is it. Here in the Bible, Matthew's saying to us, what if all along you've really been searching for Jesus? What if actually we're all searching for the divine, for God with us, searching for the eternal, searching for the kingdom of heaven? I suspect that's why so many Aussies say that they're spiritual, even though they aren't necessarily Jesus followers. at church every week, but they're spiritual because it's how God's designed us. It's in there. God designed you and me to live for something bigger than just me trying to have a good time. He designed us to follow and serve the King. King Jesus. And let me tell you, when you live for Him, you discover the joy of serving and suffering and sacrificing for something bigger than yourself, something that has ultimate value and eternal substance. And it's great. So it's pause for thought for the good timers, isn't it? Maybe that's you this morning. I mean, yeah, I'm having a good time, hanging out with my mates, camping, four-wheel driving. I love it. And I'm enjoying my work. And I'm enjoying the latest shows on Netflix. I'm enjoying raising my kids. I'm enjoying having time for more golf in my retirement. I know you are. But is that it? Or was I made for more? And what's going to happen? Sorry, this is a bit of a downer on Christmas Day, but what's going to happen when those good times start slipping through my fingers? Do I actually have an unshakable source of joy and love in my life? Do I actually have something that I can say, I am going to live for this? I would even die for that. Ask yourself this, is there anything I could get? Anything I could get more precious than Jesus? My friend, my Savior, my King. Is there anything I could live for more worthwhile than Jesus? My friend, my Savior, my King. Is there anything I could trust in more reliable than Jesus, my friend, my Savior, my King? The go-getters, the gone wrongers, the good timers. As we finish, as you head off to celebrate Christmas, however you do that, there's one thing I just really want to leave you with. I want you to hear it loud and clear. Jesus is for you. You. He's for Australians and Nepalese and Israelis. He's for men and women and boys and girls. He's for people who identify as straight and bi and trans and queer. He's for rich and poor. Jesus has come near to you. Won't you come near to Him? I'm not just talking about rocking up to church on Sundays, although that's part of it. I'm talking about a friend who will live with you, who you can pray to day and night, good and bad. I'm talking about a Savior who you can be completely honest with, and you should be, admitting all your sin, all your helplessness, relying entirely on Him. And I'm talking about a King who you will trust and obey and serve, knowing that He's the only one with the power and the authority to restore this broken world to the way it should be. If you'd like to learn more about any of this, you want to have a chat, we would love that. Come find me after the service. Chat to another welcomer in a Black Riverbank top. Get in touch with the office during the week. However you like, we're here, and we'd love to hear your story, and we'd love to tell you more about what it means to have Jesus in your life. Right now, I'd love to close with prayer. You might like to pray this with me. I'm going to pray out loud, but if you want to pray this prayer in the quiet of your own heart as well, I invite you to do that now. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you that you have come and that you've come for me. I need you. I need you to wash away my sin. I need you to help me every day. I need you to lead my life. Only you can save and restore the world to how it's meant to be. Thank you that you've come to be my Savior, my friend, and my King. Amen.